You're listening to From the Archives, an NHPR production. I'm Eric Larrabee. The condition of New Hampshire's Great Bay Estuary has been one of the biggest environmental priorities in New Hampshire for decades, and NHPR has been covering the story extensively. We were there in 2010, when the Environmental Protection Agency designated Great Bay as officially impaired, meaning it could mandate upgrades to wastewater treatment plants that discharge into the estuary. We were there in 2012, when several communities on Great Bay sued the State Department of Environmental Services, disputing the science DES used to require multi-million dollar investments in those wastewater treatment plants. And finally, we were there in 2014, when a peer review found that DES science didn't support the conclusion that requiring the most expensive upgrades was needed to improve the bay's ecosystem. Back in 1989, however, the future was looking bright for environmentalists. That's when Great Bay was added to the National Estuarine Reserve Research System, a federal network of protected coastal areas. From the archives this week, reporter Margaret Landsman Weiner's 1989 story on the Great Bay Estuary.
17 years ago, the Coastal Zone Management Act was signed into law to help protect fragile coastal areas from pollution and overdevelopment. Chief among the framers' concerns was the country's estuaries, where salt and fresh waters meet and mix. Joanne Casullo, a principal planner at the Office of State Planning, says that brackish blend creates a unique environment.
It's a breeding ground for all of your shrimp, your crab, and that part of it. And it also has a very unique habitat that you don't find in any other, either in a freshwater system or in a saltwater system. It's a unique blend of both fresh and salt water. And hence your vegetation and a lot of your plants that grow in there are different, very unique.
Is it fairly common, though, to find that kind of system, as you call it, on the edge of the ocean?
Yeah, they are. You know, most states that have, they're along either the Atlantic or Pacific coast, do have estuaries, yes. How pristine they are or how undeveloped they are is what makes probably Great Bay unique in that it really isn't as developed as some of the systems on the West Coast or even the Atlantic coast.
Great Bay, with its nearly 4,500 acres of tidal waters and over 800 acres of land and water areas, is now part of the National Estuarine Reserve Research System, established in that 1972 federal act. It joins a select group of sites from Hawaii to Maine, which all benefit now from federal money. The competition is stiff because every year there's only $4 million available for the 18 members. It's pressure that Casullo, who's been working for the designation for a long time, is used to. Just getting there, she says, wasn't easy.
It was tough, no question about it. We started planning for this project back in 1981 in the office.
8 years ago.
8 years ago, and everyone, I think, in this office has had some involvement over the years. And what makes it hard is that it is competitive and you're under a lot of scrutiny for your program and whether it's really going to contribute to the whole system as a whole, whether the research that you're going to do here and the education you can offer is really going to be important to the whole system, because it's a federal program and you have to show that it has national significance.
How did you do that?
Well, we did it in several ways. A significant reason is the fact that we have a Jackson Estuarine Laboratory that the university runs right within our boundary. And that helps them to understand at the national level that there's already a commitment by the state to running that laboratory and to fostering research activities and funding.
But aside from the research lab, what other ways did you have to prove to the federal government that this was indeed worthy of the designation?
Well, we used the fact that the bay is not as developed as some of the other estuaries, and it shows that there is an effort by the state to keep it protected. We try to show the willingness of landowners around the bay to either put their land into easements or donate some of their property to us.
You're talking about a lot of sacrifice on the part of landowners.
If we take the most recent one, the one we're working on now, the value for 39 acres of land is $950,000, and that's right on the bay. And this particular landowner is willing to donate quite a bit of that value, over 50% of it. And if this person did not do that, there's no way we could pay anyone $950,000 for land on the bay.
Great Bay, says Casullo, has more need for land donations than many of the other sites.
A lot of the other reserves have already had either a lot of state land within their boundary or federal land. And Great Bay really has very little state-owned or federal land within their boundary. And we needed to rely on local landowners' commitment to this type of program to want to work with us on resource protection. Because if we did not get the landowners we had identified as having key areas within the reserve, we wouldn't have a program.
The program won't guarantee that development on the bay will stop. But, says Casullo, it will give conservation there a boost.
This isn't a regulatory program, so it certainly cannot control development. I mean, that's still mostly a local and state regulatory mechanisms in place. But it can, I think it can help people begin to understand that if they are going to put in a project, if a developer isn't going to put in a larger project, putting an easement on a property is something to consider. It's an alternative.
The Fish and Game Department is overseeing the reserve and is requesting $400,000 more from Washington for the coming year.
Margaret Landsman Weiner for NHPR in 1989. Visit NHPR.org for more reports on the recent history of the Great Bay Estuary. From the Archives is your home for all the best stories from NHPR history. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll play part one of a two-part report on the history of mental health institutions in New Hampshire.